In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was growing up and disappointed by something, like maybe striking out in a baseball game, my father would say to me, "It's not the end of the world." He meant, of course, that in the cosmic scheme of things, this was not very important. I don't think he was trying to make a theological statement, but what he said implies that the end of the world is a bad thing. But is it? What do you think about that? There are many different terms that Christians use for the end of the world. You've heard many of these: the end time, doomsday, judgment day, the last day, the apocalypse, the second coming, the eschaton, the second coming of Christ, and Armageddon, and I'm sure there's others. All of these terms do have subtle shades of meaning and varied implications. Well, look at them, though, all together today. What's fascinating is that the end of the world isn't really the end of the world. Scientists tell us that in about 5 billion years from now, the sun will start to die, and Earth on life as we know it will end. There's another theory that says maybe trillions of years from now, the universe will continue to expand and cool, and everything will be just a tick above absolute zero in temperature. That's called the heat death of the universe. So we may not want to make any appointments for 5 billion years from now, and that's extremely disappointing for me because that's the day that our plumber was supposed to come. We Christians confess a particular belief about the end of the world. Later in our liturgy, we will use the phrase "world without end." These two statements, though, are not a contradiction. We believe in linear time. God is eternal. He always was, he is, and he always will be. But there was a point where God created the heavens and the earth and us. In essence, he created time, and he is leading us through time. This is very different from the idea that many of the Eastern religions have, where life is a cycle. There's a cycle of death and rebirth going on and on for both human beings and for the universe. When we say the end of the world, we don't mean that the earth is collapsing into oblivion, into nothingness and empty space. But one day, the world will change in a major way. The world as we know it will be transformed. A new day after the last day will dawn, and we and everything else in creation will be eternally made over. We will have life everlasting in a new world. Thoughts about the end of the world have been on my mind lately because whenever there is an international crisis, such as the war in the Ukraine, people immediately start to speculate about the end of the world. They ask, is what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine the run-up to the Battle of Armageddon? Is Vladimir Putin the Antichrist? Is this the end? We have a theological and a historical perspective on that. Last week I said that the churches I grew up in had a lot to say about the devil. I don't recall hearing much, though, about Christ returning to earth and the end of the world, at least until a book was published called The Late Great Planet Earth. These were the Cold War years and a time of great tension between the Arabs and the nation of Israel. The book identified the Soviet Union as the Antichrist, as the beast of the revelation, and that an imminent conflict in the Middle East involving Russia and the United States would be the Battle of Armageddon leading up to Christ's coming again. But that battle never happened. Christ didn't return, and the Soviet Union collapsed. other candidates for Armageddon and the Antichrist rose and fell, such as Saddam Hussein and the first Gulf War and Osama bin Laden and the attack on 9/11. But now Russia is back in the news, and the apocalyptic industrial complex is dusting off their old failed theories and spiffing them up for the 21st century. But don't jump to any conclusions just yet. There is nothing new about end time speculation. Jesus explicitly said that no one knows when he is coming again except the Father in heaven, but people are still trying to predict Christ's second advent, even though Jesus says it's impossible. Jesus said that we can't know the day or the hour. Someone once said to me, that does mean, though, that we can know the month and the year. Really? Are you serious? Come on. The earliest Christians believed that the Roman Emperor Nero, who mercilessly persecuted Christians, was the Antichrist. They also believed that Christ would come again in their lifetimes. Didn't happen. Then there were predictions about the end of the world based on the images in Revelation. And particularly these became very big in the years 10,000 or 1,000, 1260, and 1666. Misinterpreting the Revelation has led a lot of people far astray. In the Middle Ages, events like the Black Plague and the Great Fire of London were interpreted as harbingers of the end. At the time of the German Protestant Reformation, a time of great upheaval, not only in the church but in society in general, Luther called the Pope the Antichrist, and the Pope called Luther the Antichrist. Both the French Revolution and its reign of terror, as well as the emperorship of Napoleon Bonaparte, were seen as signs of the end. In 1844, a large number of people were convinced by a man who claimed to have decoded the Revelation that Christ was coming on a certain day. On that day, he and all of his followers went up on a mountaintop to wait for the Lord to return, and the event of that day has been called the Great Disappointment. You think the leaders of a movement like that would learn from their mistake, but no. They went back and recalculated several times, in fact, and all of their calculations obviously were wrong. You think a movement like that would have died out, but no, that group was the beginning of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, what do we believe? What is the truth about the end of the world? We can see the foundations, the traditional Christian understanding of the end of the world in today's assigned scripture readings. And let me assure you of this, it is good news. Many times in the Gospels, Jesus tells us that he is coming again to earth one day. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is talking about the judgment that will come upon Jerusalem and the Jews for rejecting him, and indeed the nation was pretty much obliterated and the temple destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. But at the same time, Jesus is also referring to his second coming, his return to earth after his resurrection and ascension, to judge the world and save his redeemed people. On the first Palm Sunday, when he entered Jerusalem, the crowd shouted to Jesus, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They recognized Jesus as God's promised Messiah. Today, when we celebrate the Holy Communion, we echo those words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," as we sing the Sanctus and recognize Jesus coming to us in the sacrament. And on the last day, we will sing, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," as Christ returns as judge and Savior. Each week in our worship, we affirm our belief that Jesus is coming again. Later in the service, we will recite the Nicene Creed, which says, He, Jesus, will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. Don't let anyone tell you that Lutherans do not believe in Christ coming again. We most certainly do. And what we believe and teach is strictly biblical in nature. Unlike a lot of things that you hear about the end times these days, which are not biblical. And I'm looking forward to saying more about that some other time. On one hand, all this talk about judgment might scare people. As Christians, we do not need to fear judgment. We do not need to fear Christ's return. Why? Because Jesus' death has freed us from our sins. When God judges us, he sees the faithfulness and the sacrifice of Christ, not our sins, and we are pardoned for Jesus' sake. So rather than fear the end, we should look forward to it. We should pray for Christ to come again and to come quickly, because his return will mean the end of this nasty, crazy, brutal, violent world, and then we will live in the peace of Christ forever. On the one hand, on the other hand, the end of the world might not quite seem real or relevant to us. Christ hasn't been back in almost 2,000 years. He might not return for another 2,000 or 2 billion. Nobody knows. So why should we bother thinking about it, we might say. Well, while nobody knows exactly when the world will end, we do know that one day our personal worldly lives will end. Maybe we will live to see Christ return, but there's a very good chance that we will leave this earth before he returns, and that will be the end of the world for us. So how do we live then, knowing what awaits us? The line we heard in the psalm today is so instructive and comforting. Psalm 8, verse 4 reads, In peace I lie down and sleep. Many of us sleep restlessly or don't sleep at all because of aches and pains or anxieties and worries or guilty consciences. Isn't it great when we can put all that stuff behind us and get a good night's sleep? Won't it be great when all that stuff will be behind us forever and we can rest in heavenly peace? There's a wonderful hymn in our Lutheran service book. It's number 885, and we don't sing it frequently in worship because it's intended for the evening. Actually, it's intended to be sung right before going to bed. Verse 3 of that hymn goes, Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious on the awesome day. I don't think that needs a lot of explanation. Just soak it in. Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Well, it's another one of those days where I wish that I had a lot more time to say what I'd like to say about Christ's second coming, what it'll be like, and how to interpret the revelation. There's a lot of misinformation out there that needs to be cleared up, and we'll do that sometime. But I think it all boils down to this, what we heard in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 today. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our sins are forgiven. We need not fear judgment. We need not fear death. We need not fear the end of the world. Our future is secure because come what may, God has got our backs. It's going to be much better than okay for us. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.